Amen. Thank you, Sister Bella. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you all so much for your prayers. Thank you. God is so pleased with this altar of prayer and the faithfulness and the persevering commitment of the people to sustain such an altar 24/7 is just amazing. Only God can do this. So I just can't stop thanking all of you for your heart for God, your passion, your zeal, and your willingness to keep holding the nation and the church before the mercy seat of God. Only God knows how these prayers are restrained so much in this nation. And the mercy of God, you know, the long suffering of God through your prayers. So thank you so much. And thank you for praying for me. I really felt your prayers and your love. The kind of time I went to be with the Lord wasn't kind of just one of those easy things. Hey, I was very desperate. I was very hungry. I was really desperate. And desperate people do desperate things. So I took just, I can feel the prayers of the people just carrying me through this time of waiting on the Lord. And I thank God that in his mercy and grace, he's always faithful. He's always faithful to hear the cry of his people. The Bible says this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard his cries and delivered him from all his troubles. So I thank you so much. There's just no way with the mercies that I've received to share with you and the grace that God has given, there's no way we can just even begin to touch anything in one day. So by God's grace, we have opportunity to just take this step by step. But there was something a little bit on the urgency part that I have to share with you today, because that cannot wait because of the timing. And then hopefully we can be sharing other things. But this is a time conscious message word, and I just have to share it as briefly as possible, and hopefully we can go into details as God permits. So Father, I thank you so much for just your love and your grace. Thank you for raising up a people who seek after you. You said, who shall come before your holy hills but he that has pure hands, you know, and whose hearts are really, really pure before you. So Father, thank you so much for a generation. You said truly when they come before your presence, they will receive the blessings from the Lord. So thank you, Father, that you're mindful of the need of our time, and you're more than able, Father, to deliver us and save our generation from the expectations of the wicked one. Father, bless your people tonight and give us hearts and ears that are totally yielded to your word. Father, quicken in us and just give us understanding and urgency to this word. May we receive it by faith so that by the fear of the Lord we can truly commit ourselves to again pray for this nation in a very, very committed way. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. Have your way tonight, and glorify your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me quickly read a scripture, and I want to share something about the scripture, and then I'll share with you the prophetic word of the Lord. Amen. This scripture is in 2 Kings chapter 7, and from verse 1 it says, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in the heavens, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say, we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die anyway. And they rose up in the twilight, just a specific time, Dallas, to go unto the camp of the Syrian, the camp of the enemy. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrian, behold, there was no man there. When they came to the camp of the Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Verse 7. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight. Now verse 5 says, the lepers arose up in the twilight. They took their first step in the twilight to go towards the camp of the Syrians. Verse 7 says, wherefore the Syrians, they arose and fled at that same time, the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, to where the enemy was supposed to be, they went into one tent and did eat, and they drank the drink, and they carried them silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good news, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till tomorrow morning, some mischief will come upon us. So therefore, let's come that we might go and tell the king's household. Let's go and disclose the news. Amen. Let me stop here with this reading as just a text for time. This story is one of the most amazing time in the life of the children of God, the children of Israel. They have backslidden so much that they opened themselves to this level of judgment, that a great drought came upon the land. There was such famine that has not been heard, and to the point that the children, some women were now beginning to sacrifice their own children for food. They were eating their own children. That is the place in the Bible. It's happened in different places in the days of Jeremiah, but this was where it was specifically mentioned that the viciousness of the famine forced people to do uncommon, inhuman things. And so at the height of this judgment, at the height of this Israel's purification, the Lord, of course, her servants who pray, who are waiting on the Lord and seeking the Lord and praying. And Elisha was in that generation. So when the time came that the mercy of God has been fulfilled over Israel, Elisha received a word from the Lord. And the word of the Lord was that in 24 hours, that's by this time tomorrow, in 24 hours, there will be a shift in the spiritual atmosphere of the nation. And this shift will be translated into the physical realm with provision. There will be a change in the climate of the nation where before now, unknown to the children of Israel, God in the spiritual realm, the demonic realm was ruling. And because the demonic realm was in power, the Syrians were empowered to besiege Israel. And as they besieged Israel, they so intimidated them, tormented them with fear because they overpowered them. And because of that siege, there was no food in the town, and they could not go out, they could not trade outside, they were sieged in. So the Syrians, normally that's a strategy of war until you're so weak and they come in and they take over. So before they got to that place where the Syrians would come and take over, God heard their cry. So now that God heard their cry, the first thing that happens is there's a breakthrough in the spirit. The prayer of faith, whenever God honors the prayers of his people, the first place you get a breakthrough is in the spirit. And because we are human, we don't notice it, we don't connect with it. So God will use a few means to begin to relate to the people that are praying that change has come in the spirit. And then when the prayer of faith changes the spiritual realm, then there must be a corresponding action of faith in the physical realm to bring that has happened in the spirit to the physical realm. So that's why it's not enough to just believe in God. Everybody believes in God, but we have to believe God. You know, we have to walk by faith in prayer, and then when there's breakthrough, then we walk by faith in the physical to cause that which is in the spirit to come in the physical realm. So this is the principle here. We will see three examples very quickly. But in this story, that's what has happened. So as soon as breakthrough comes, there are means by which God translates this breakthrough to his servants. Sometimes he will use a dream to convey to his servants, this is what is happening. He will give them a picture and speak to them through a dream or through a metaphor or through a parable and say, this has happened. Okay, sometimes he will use a vision and he will show the people open vision, like the prophet said, this has happened. You know, this is so. Then sometimes he will speak clearly to them the word of the Lord. So, in this situation, Elisha received the word of the Lord about what has just happened over the realm of the children of Israel's life. So, you must understand that the spiritual world has no obstacles in the physical world. Obstacles, or what we call mountains, or the things that limit us, are for natural men. The evidence of the spiritual world is when obstacles are removed. For the physical man, we call it miracles. But in the spirit, spiritual people don't see physical breakthroughs as miracles because they are spirit. So in the spirit, there are no natural things cannot be obstacle to spiritual things. So once you get a breakthrough in the spirit, the physical obstacles are not really no more there. But you have to walk by faith so that you don't look at what you see in the physical, move towards what you see in the physical, and by the time you get there, you find out that the spiritual world has already been in control. So that's the picture that was being painted here about the breakthrough. In a time where what they were going to was impossible. And now the word of the Lord came and said, in 24 hours, not in a month's span of time, maybe for a whole month, this thing will change. He says in 24 hours, God would have told Elijah, maybe give them a week to share, say in a week's time or 2 months' time or 3 months' time. But he said in 24 hours, there will be a change. The word of the Lord, when it's spoken, is spirit. It addresses the spiritual world first, and then it's translated by faith into the physical. So when he spoke it, that's it. In the spiritual world, it has shifted. Every demonic realm has been shifted. And now the angels of God and the kingdom of God now rules over the atmosphere. So nobody sees that. So, but what happened is that in the physical now, God is now looking for somebody to activate it into the physical realm. So nobody knew how this breakthrough would come. Nobody knew how this miracle would come. Nobody knew how this prophecy would be fulfilled, because it has to be a miracle. To the point the servant of the king says, even if God opens the windows of heaven, this is impossible. So, but when God speaks, there's nothing impossible with God. So, as they were looking to this 24-hour period, there was a quickening. There was a quickening that took place in the heart of four lepers. Now, the reason why I'm using this story, well, could have used so many other stories in the Bible, is I want to place an emphasis by the Spirit of the Lord here that whenever God begins to move, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit. It is regardless of our human ability, because God takes the weak things of this world to confirm the wise. So God chose four lepers at the gate of Samaria. And they said, if we sit here, we die. If we go into the town, there's no food, we die. Why not we move towards the enemy's camp? You will see what I'm going to show you soon. Anytime there is a breakthrough in the spirit, the only way for you to manifest it in the physical is to move towards that obstacle. To move towards that obstacle by faith. So when they said that, they said, let's move towards the enemy's camp. The very people that are causing the famine, the siege. The moment they took their first step towards that direction, they did not know that their step in the physical has connected with the move of God in the spirit, because that's where God is going. So the Bible says the angels of God moved. And when they moved their step towards the camp of the enemy, the Lord went before them, went with them. They had no weapon, they had no gun, they had no instrument. They were just walking by faith. So whenever you walk by faith, meaning whenever you walk based on the direction of the word of God or the dreams or the things that God has quickened in your spirit, then your steps are ordered of the spirit. So you are literally moving in the direction of God. And so by the time they got to the camp of the enemy, what they saw in the physical, what has physically held Israel to this time that the kings, everybody is still afraid, they are still there, they found out they are no more there. Instead, and this is always the case, instead they found blessings and provision. Now, that's how the spiritual world works when people get a break to connect. So first thing, there will be crisis in the physical human limitation. It opens the door for us to look to God in the spirit. And whenever we meet the requirements of God in our waiting and in our prayer, that heaven is satisfied with our desperation. And then we connect that waiting period and praying. Whenever, whether it's a year or 2 years or 40 years, whenever that breakthrough comes in the spirit, is over. All you need now is somebody in the natural that will not walk by sight, but must walk towards the enemy, towards the cap, towards the thing. So that's how faith works. That's why it says faith is defined this way. With God, nothing is impossible. Faith works with God because you're working with the invisible kingdom and the power that prevails over situation. So another example is the book of Esther. The people were facing a decree of annihilation. It has been signed, it has been established, it's written, it's done. And in the physical, it's a big problem. Their life was on the, or was just waiting to be destroyed. And in the physical, hope has gone. That's the physical world. So, and in the physical, there was a wicked man called Haman. And at this time, he's activated demonic activities in the spirit. So this whole decree is coming from a spiritual wickedness point of view. So you don't see what is happening in the spirit, but what you see in the physical and the decrees and the wickedness are reflection of demonic authorities that are working in the natural. So in the physical, when the children of God in the days of Esther were forced to a corner, they had no other hope, no other choice. They were forced to look in the spirit. So they went into prayer, like you all know, and they prayed just for 3 days with fasting, with prayer, whichever way they met the very heart of God. They met whatever God required to honor their cry. As soon as they did that, there was a breakthrough in the spirit. The prayer of faith will always change the spiritual climate. But when the climate changes, you can continue to pray all you want. The thing in the physical will not move. It takes faith, the action of faith, the obedience of faith in the physical realm, for you to see that what has happened in the spirit has removed the physical obstacle. Until you move towards the obstacle, you will not know that in the spirit that obstacle has been removed. So Esther had an obstacle before her, before prayer. And the obstacle was a decree that no queen, nobody should come before the king unless their time has come and the scepter beckons them to come. So she has two obstacles. One, she has no right to go to the king because her time has not come. It's punishable by death. And two, there's a sentence hanging over the Jews by death. And it's a decree. But after the prayer, there was a shift in the spirit. The only way the shift can be manifested in the physical realm was for her to move against death. So she moved in that direction. That's what faith is, by faith. So she's moving, holding on to what she has perceived in the spirit as breakthrough, what she has received as obedience. So she moved in that direction, just like the four lepers, towards the enemy, towards the camp. On getting there, I believe to her shock, instead of a decree, why are you here? Take her and kill her. The king said, I will give you even to the half of my kingdom. What can I do for you? What can I do for you, Esther? From that point, not only what can I do for you, Esther, he went to the level of reversing the decree of the king and turned the handwriting around, and the enemies of the Jews were destroyed, and the wealth of the wicked was reversed to the possession of the righteous because of a breakthrough in the spirit. So that's one. Another area, as the Lord was, like I share with you, I'm sharing this because I want to share something very prophetic with you because of the urgency. In the subsequent week, we're going to be looking at some very amazing revelation of the Lord for our time. Another example with what you see with the lepers, with a changed atmosphere, was also Moses. Moses has been away from Egypt, running from an enemy. Egypt was governed by Pharaoh and the gods of Egyptians. And the children of Israel has been in bondage there for 400 years. So the atmosphere is heavy. The enemies are heavy and the children of Israel can't come out. But there was an angel appeared to Moses and spoke on behalf of the Lord and told Moses, the time has come and change has come. I have heard the groanings of the people. I've heard their cry, and the season that I appointed because of the covenant I made with Abraham has come. So I'm going to send you back to Egypt because the atmosphere has changed. Moses, being human, also did not understand, what God was telling him. But basically, for time, God finally convinced him with a few signs and wonders and said, go back to Egypt. So what is happening is, at this point, God has answered prayer. The people of Israel have suffered enough. So God has heard their cry. So God now brought a breakthrough. Before you see a breakthrough in the physical, is the spiritual has been cleared. It's a principle. So by the time Moses got to Egypt, the Pharaoh he was running for, now he can confront him. Because there's a change, one in Moses' life and one in the spiritual climate. So he got to Egypt and Moses started challenging Egypt, and going through that. So as God started using Moses to do tremendous things in Egypt to show that change has come, they got breakthroughs to the point that now the children of Israel came out of Egypt. But as they came out of Egypt, God spoke. Now, this is one thing you have to understand. Whenever the breakthrough time comes, God will start speaking. And whenever God speaks at that time, whatever he speaks has to happen in that season. It's not something that is prolonged. When the time of God of waiting, when you hear from the Lord, you might think it's going to happen right now, but you'll be shocked if you take 40 years, you take 20 years, because it was not a time of manifestation. But when the atmosphere changes and the time of fulfillment comes, when God speaks, prophecies are not deferred anymore. They start happening instantly. So that's why sometimes people will hear a prophetic word from the Lord about 10 years or 50 or whatever, and they say, why didn't it happen? I died not seeing it, like David Wickles and so many. But sometimes some things are spoken to people, but the time of fulfillment has not come. When the season of fulfillment comes, they speak it, it starts happening. Like Elijah said, this is going to happen in 24 hours. It's not 2 years or 10 years along the road. So when that time came to pass, Moses started speaking things and it started happening. So they came out of Egypt. As soon as they came out of Egypt, Pharaoh came after them. You all know the story. And here's the word of the Lord in Exodus 14. God told Moses, says, go this direction. Go this direction. I have a plan. And if you follow that direction, Pharaoh will come after you and then I will be glorified. Now, God spoke to Moses to go through a direction that requires faith to go that direction. What was that direction? God knew the direction that the end of it in the physical realm is a Red Sea. But in the spirit, there is no Red Sea that holds the people back. Because whenever God speaks, the word of God transcends the physical realm. So Moses received this word, and all of a sudden, he went in that direction. But as humans, the children of Israel went with them. And as they were looking by sight, they found out that, wow, there's a dead end. There's a Red Sea. And it's like, no, Moses, did you really hear from the Lord? Despite all these miracles, immediately they looked in the physical. And that's why Paul encouraged believers in the New Testament. If you will see miracles, if you really see God move, you must walk by faith and not by sight. So they were looking in the physical. After all these miracles, they felt Moses has missed the road. How can God tell you to go to a place and then we find out there's no way forward? You've missed God. So the fear has come and the enemy is now coming against them. Pharaoh thought the same thing. Wow, they missed God also. So fear came. So this is the point I wanted to make about this, about the spiritual world. Moses got afraid also because of the pressure of the children of Israel, people looking by sight. So Moses felt, let me go cry out to God. He went to pray again. God says, this is not time for prayer. The reason is, Moses, breakthrough has come. This is the time for you to act by faith. You have to walk out what I've told you. This is the prayer is already getting his victory. I am with you. You now have to, by faith, move forward. As Moses moved the next steps and the next step, he found out that what people thought was a physical obstacle was not anymore. The Red Sea gave way because God has spoken. And they walked through. And every time you walked the path that God has ordained for you to walk, it becomes a snare for your enemy. So when Pharaoh tried to go through that path, that was the end of Pharaoh and his men. But the children of Israel, by faith, crossed that line because God said it. The obstacle was not for the people of God by faith. But if you're not walking by faith, if you go through that path, it will be your death. And that's what happened to Pharaoh. So the point is, there is a time to pray and to continue to pray. But there's a time that God says, now act on your prayer, because your prayer has given you a breakthrough in the spirit. Not that you don't continue to pray like Jesus continued to pray, but there are things that God wants you now to walk out physically to see the miracle happen, and then you continue to pray about other things. So that's what happened. The point is, when there is a shift in the spirit, it requires action of faith in the physical to cause what has been happening in the spirit to be established in the physical realm. We call it miracle, but in the spirit it's called obedience. So now, with these few examples, I could go on and share more, but just let me quickly just add this one thing, and then I will share this prophetic word, this urgent word. Again, just to emphasize the power of the Word of God. There is the letter of the Word, you know, just written Word. But there's the spirit of the Word. So whenever we read the Bible, we begin to pray according to the will of God. Or pray over any situation, pray over whatever God is showing to us. We have to keep praying, and we keep praying until the word of the Lord comes and say, what you are praying for, here is happened. Or here's a word, here is a dream, or here's a vision. I have come, I have answered, I have responded. Now, by faith, you have to now walk it in the physical. So that's why without faith, whether the faith of prayer of faith or actions of faith, without it, it's impossible to please God. And by that faith, the Bible says in Hebrews, all these people from Genesis to that time, they were able to manifest and bring the awareness of God into the people of the earth because of their actions and obedience of faith. So, Jesus, in the New Testament, established the reason and the importance of faith. Why God is looking for faith. Why faith? Because faith is believing the word of God. There are three people, 1 John 5, they are bear witness in heaven. Is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Why did God put it that way? He would have said the Father, the Son, or the Father, in other places, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Or you can say the Father, Jesus. And but in this place, it just said they bear witness. Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's easy to say, God, I love you. I know you exist. I know you're there. I know you love me. But God says, do you believe me? And then, do you believe that the Holy Ghost has power to establish my word, to perform my word? So the only way God finds out those who believe and those who just believe God exists is a trying and a testing of our confidence in the word of God. So that's why God will speak to you like Abraham. Abraham, I will make you a father of nations. It's a word. And that word will try you. Joseph, you will be this through a dream. The Bible says the word of the Lord tried Joseph. The word of the Lord will try you to make sure at the end of the trial, you have no confidence in what you see anymore, but the word of God. So Jesus gave an example as he was training his disciples about the power of believing in the word of God. And that's the generation we are in. He told them when Lazarus passed away, that Lazarus was going to be, he says, this sickness, listen, is not unto death, but for the glory of God. God has spoken. He's finished. He's just training his disciples about the future so that they don't put God in a box of the five senses. So God tested them, and he waited, and Lazarus went from sickness to death. He did not only go from sickness to death, he was rotting 4 days. So when Jesus finally showed up, all this uproar, all these things was going on, you should have come, all this, they've given up. But he was trying to teach them one lesson about the word of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost that confirms when God speaks, it's finished. So the point Jesus was trying to make through that raising that, there's no need to raise up a rotten person or that is already stinking. But Lazarus was raised from the dead to teach the disciples of Jesus that when God speaks, the spiritual word has no limitation to any condition. That's why with God, there is nothing impossible. That's why you cannot look at a nation under famine, dying, or a people lost, and Satan making it look like there's no hope. God is saying if he can find faith in the earth, there is nothing God cannot do. So, that is the promise of the power of standing on the word of God. Until you see a breakthrough in the spirit, and then you walk it out in the natural, and you see the breakthrough in the physical realm. Now, you've been praying for me. I went away to seek the Lord. There are several things the Lord has shown to me through the years, and there are things, you know, different things. And you're praying for America, I'm praying for America, we all prayed. But there was something the Lord showed to me one particular year, and as he was showing me, he was saying that the homosexual movement is going to take the nation and sin is going to grow and all this stuff, you know, and just he was showing all these things that we are seeing happening now. And I was showing, you know, the power of witchcraft in the nation that people don't recognize. And actually, as I'm talking to you now, I just remembered also, when I went away, God showed me how the sacrifices of people in witchcraft is so common that people don't know it. You know, I saw some of it. It was showing me what was happening during the Halloween. Children were being sacrificed like goats, you know. So anyway, it's the wickedness of the nation will escalate, and iniquity, perversion, idolatry, witchcraft, wickedness. But God again said, I will place intercessors in this land. I will raise up a remnant of people that will seek my face. So in the parable of the wheat and the tares, you can see that understanding there, that sometimes there's wickedness in the land and people are saying, even angels, God, deal with this situation. Deal with this situation now. And God is saying, wait until the harvest. Meaning, wait until I build up my, I mature my people, I raise up my sons and daughters, I prepare the people, or like the days of Noah, until the ark is ready. God's long-suffering tarries. So, all through this time, the enemy has provoked God, heaven, with provocations. With sin, with unbelievable rebellion. We don't see these things, but it's happening. Accusations. In other words, provoking God to judge the nation. And things will want to happen, but your prayers, people will pray and pray and pray, and the mercy of God will overthrow. People will pray over America, and the mercy of God will overthrow. People will pray. So your prayers has been holding this nation under the mercy of God. But the sin has been provoking God to this nation. So, but God has been waiting. So now, what has happened, there was a time the Lord showed to me, he says, you know, the prayers of the saints is really created a blanket of mercy over the nation until the timing of the Lord. So that's why sometimes God will send people like Jonah, and God will say to Nineveh, in 40 days, this nation is going to perish. Jonah heard from the Lord. Jonah received a clear word from the Lord. God even took him there by a supernatural way, forced him there, spoke the word of the Lord. But then the people repented, because it's not God's will that any should perish. And what Jonah was expecting never happened, and he was frustrated. So that happens different times. It's not like sometimes people don't hear from the Lord, but God is merciful. He puts deadlines sometimes to create an urgency for prayer, to overthrow that process that Satan is provoking with accusation for justice. So, in the course of time, the Lord was showing me different things that were happening in the nation at different times, even in prayer. I can't go into all that. But really quickly, as I conclude, is that the Lord showed me that there will be different tragedies or disasters that will be happening in the nation to kind of keep the nation a little bit awakened, that God is not pleased with the sin and the enemy is accusing this nation if it's not for the prayers of the righteous. So all these little things have been happening, like 9/11, all these different stuff, and the economy and stuff, all this, they've been happening, and these things are prophetically in alignment. So, but the Lord showed me years ago, when this whole Moshesha thing and all this stuff, he says there will come a time, I'm going to give you a sign. When you see this sign, you will know that only is not the iniquity of the nation full, but that is the time I will deliver the nation. I deliver the righteous of the nation. And that's the time I will begin to again pour out my spirit upon this nation. And I will begin to rescue this nation with a mighty move of God. But also, I will judge the wicked for their wickedness during this time. So all through these years, we'll be praying and waiting and praying and waiting. The sign was an earthquake, that there will be a very major earthquake that will happen in America. And this earthquake it will be a significant sign that you cannot deny. And when you see this sign, he showed me some other things that will be following after that. He said, when you see this, you will know that every other thing I've shown to you, the time has come. And I'll begin to turn this nation around. And I'll begin to do amazing things that people have been praying to happen in this nation, like an awakening and revival and major movements of God. So I've been praying and just waiting when this will happen. But just praying. Because you don't want it to really happen, because it's going to affect people. But God said, when you see it, it's because I can't delay anymore because of the iniquity of the people. I must intervene. So when I went away this time in prayer, the Lord showed me this earthquake. And he showed it in such a way that I really believe is imminent. And it is probably going to be one of the worst earthquakes in the history of this nation, to bring an awakening. But at the same time, there's a major move of God that's attached to it. And when he showed it in different ways so that I would not deny what he was showing in this time of prayer. But this is what he also showed. He showed it, and he showed it with urgency, like Jonah. He showed it with an urgency. And the urgency is this. He said this earthquake, without serious prayer and repentance, if really serious prayer and repentance, to either defer it or even suspend it or just cry out for God's mercy, it will happen. So the urgency that he gave is like the days of Jonah. He said this earthquake is going to happen this month of November or latest December. So it's between this November and December. And the epic center of the earthquake is California. He showed it to me. And it will so devastate that whole region that in a way nobody has ever seen in history. And it will cause an awakening like never before in this nation. But if it's not the timing, sin is forcing it into existence. But the only people that can either suspend it or hold it or even ask the mercy of God to minimize it, is the praying people. That's why Abraham interceded, Moses interceded, when there's an urgency. And just like the days of Jonah. So I just want to quickly submit this to you. This is it. This November, December, there will be a massive earthquake in California. And this earthquake, I don't know the extent it's going to go, but it's going to be the worst ever in American history. But if we pray, things can change. But if God, we don't meet the requirement that God needs at this time, the iniquity of this nation is forcing it into manifestation. So I will stop at this. But all I want to tell you is God also showed me cities of refuge. There are places God has already prepared because of the prayers of the saints. And in these cities and states, there will be total protection, safety in the spirit. Actually, God is dispersing angels. One of the places that I saw clearly, that he explained very clearly, was Tennessee. There are just angels all around this area because of prayer and people positioning. This state was clearly shown as one of the big states of refuge, the city of refuge. There are other states about what God is about to do. So there are places where you are, you've created an atmosphere of refuge because of prayer. But God and the sin of this nation is overwhelming in the spiritual world and is beginning to affect the nations of the earth. So if we don't pray more fervently, we're about to see the greatest shaking in this nation. And it can happen anytime in this November or December. So I just want to submit that to you because it was so urgent. I'm afraid because of the blood of the people and the blood of this hearing such a thing. So I submit that to you in prayer, and hopefully by next week, if you know, we can go deeper and more understanding in this area. But I just want to give this understanding to you for time. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. Sometimes it's just fearful to be in your presence, but the Bible says in the book of Amos, when God has spoken, who can hold it back? I thank you, Father, that you alone, you're merciful, you're gracious. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for the salvation of this nation But Father, our hope and our eyes are upon you. Have mercy, O God, and awaken us to stand in the gap in this urgent moment. In Jesus' name, amen.